This morning on Tell Somebody, Care of Poor People, Inc., Director and Founder Richard Tripp, and Hope Faith Ministries Executive Director Dwayne Shervam talk about the upcoming Survival 13 event for the homeless.
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman. Stay tuned now for Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer.
Tell Somebody Podcast, www.tellsomebody.us, on Twitter, at Tell Somebody Now. This is your host, Tom Clammer. This podcast is produced and distributed by Tell Somebody and may or may not reflect the broadcast of Tell Somebody heard on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City. Streaming around the world at www.kkfi.org. If you have any comments or questions on the show, drop me a line at mail@tellsomebody.us. mail@tellsomebody.us. Look for links to audio files of past editions of this show, as well as links and information about the shows at www.tellsomebody.us. US. A couple of quick notes. KC Move to Amend, a local affiliate of a national group advocating an amendment to overturn the ridiculous fiction of corporate personhood, has a benefit concert event this Saturday. It's called Groove to Amend. Groove to Amend takes place this Saturday, 6 p.m. till midnight at the Uptown Arts Bar, 3611 Broadway in Kansas City, Missouri. Look for Groove to Amend and KC Move to Amend on Facebook for more information. And another group to keep an eye on and maybe get involved with, if you believe in responsible media and its importance in contributing to an informed public, look for Friends of Community Media on Facebook. Friends of Community Media on Facebook or www.ourfcm.org. On with the show. A great band called the Cheap Dates will once again be playing at a homeless event in Kansas City on Saturday, November 30th. They'll be at Hope Faith Ministries at 705 Tracy in Kansas City at the Care of Poor People Survival 13 event for the homeless. Richard Tripp has been organizing these events for 30 years. And this year, he's got some help from Dwayne Shervam. I sat down with both of them this week to hear more about it. Give a listen. I am sitting at a table now with Dwayne Shervam, Executive Director of Hope Faith Ministries, hopefaithministries.org, and Richard Tripp, founder and executive director of Care of Poor People, Inc., www.coppinc.com. Welcome you both to Tell Somebody.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
So, Richard, you've got another homeless event coming up, Winter Survival 13, coming up November 30th, and you've got some help this year.
Yeah, you know, we really got lucky. Dwayne and his organization, Hope Faith, called me up one day and said, hey, we got a building. If you need help, come on down. We'll do it. And, you know, it was a God blessing, you might say, because finding a place to do the event is getting next to almost impossible to find in the downtown area. We need to be in a location to where we can get to the people and the people can get there with transportation and otherwise. And thanks to Hope Faith Ministry, we're going to do it there. And it, you know, it's neat in a way because you've got two different organizations. Mm-hmm. They both got basically the same philosophy as the other one, but we've been working apart. There comes a time in today's age, the way money's tight, places are tight, everything, that you got to work together, and that's what we're going to do this time at the survival event. We're going to work together, and we're going to take care of the masses in Kansas City that needs help in, you know, from basically dying on our streets. That's what we're about. We're about saving lives in the community. And with Hope Faith coming along helping us, I don't think you'll get a much better deal than that.
And I know over the several years that I've been following you, seems like every year it's a scramble to find a location. So this is good news, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's definitely good news. And I really think with that we can work together and really be able to handle more and more people. I mean, every year it gets bigger because, let's face it, homelessness is getting so big. Mm-hmm. So many people losing their jobs. People out there, I seen an article yesterday about a woman that was stealing money out of the city's little fountain they had. She was taking some pennies. And they're talking, because she was hungry. And they're talking about giving her 20 years for stealing from the city. I mean, when it gets that bad, those that have a heart got to come together and help those that don't. I mean, these are our brothers and sisters, regardless of race, age, religion, I don't care. Each religion teaches each other. I mean, in their holy books, they tell us how we should treat our brothers and sisters. Problem is, we don't listen to it. We do it our way. Well, it's time we start doing what we've been taught ever since we was kids, and that's taking care of those that are hurting.
Good deal. KKFI listeners, a good number of them might remember that Hope Faith Ministries was the location for a national TV and radio broadcast on KKFI and Free Speech TV several years ago before you were here. Mm-hmm. But for those who don't remember, tell us about Hope Faith, and this event is November 30th. Where is Hope Faith located?
Hope Faith is located at 705 Virginia, kind of between Troost and the Paseo. And, you know, we're an organization that really is looking, you know, as Richard said, to meet the needs of people. And people are down and out for a lot of different reasons. In our case, we're reaching out to people who are homeless, whether they're living under a bridge, living in a tent city, staying the night in a other great organizations like Salvation Army or City Union Mission and Restart. But those organizations actually keep the people overnight. They feed them the evening meal, but then in the morning they have to leave. And so when you have literally thousands of people that are out in the streets all day, there is a need, especially in the middle of the summer when it's really hot, or in the winter when it's really cold, where do they go? And rather than having them meandering or trying to find a place, we open our doors, and we will see approximately 500 to 600 individuals walk through our building every day. Wow. And we'll serve somewhere between 700 and 900 meals. Believe it or not, some come for breakfast and for lunch. And but they're able to not only come and have something to eat, but they're able to also get a shower or get their hair cut or have clothes. We provide clothes for them. We provide a variety of other organizations actually come in and use our building as a contact with them in order to help the homeless take that next step out of really despair. I don't know if you've ever spent the night under a bridge. I haven't personally. But you know what? There's no joy that comes in waking up in the morning huddled under a blanket or huddled in a sleeping bag or even worse, not even having that. and as it's getting colder, you know, what Richard is doing and what he is helping to provide to really people in need is really critical for our community. Statistics say there's between 2,000 and 3,000 homeless in the Kansas City metro, and every one of those people are individuals who need someone to say I care. Mm-hmm. Right.
Richard, how did you and Dwayne come together to work together on this?
Well, actually, believe it or not, members of our board of directors came together and told us about each other. Uh-huh. And then we had a meeting with John Eisenberg and Mike
Sillison.
And they said it was about time we got together. Because, you know, we'd both been doing the same work, basically. Thing is, we hadn't really worked together for a while. There was a different administration at Hope Faith. Personally, we just got apart, but now we're back together, and you know, we're going to have a heck of an event. We're going to help thousands of people survive this winter, and that's what it's about. I mean, we're not just talking about the homeless, but we're talking about poor people that their heat's been cut off and they need a blanket or they need a coat or they need this or they need that, and they got nowhere to turn to but us. We've been doing it for 30 years, and good Lord willing, I'll be doing it for 40 before I'm done. But the point is, we make a difference. You don't see the numbers you used to see in our newspaper every year where they found this person dead or this person dead under this train track or whatever. You know, it's about saving lives. That's what this whole... Both the events I sponsor each year, that's what it's about. It's saving lives. These are human beings.
And it's not just about adults. It's also
no,
about
it's
kids.
Children.
Yep.
Women.
The average age of a homeless person in Kansas City is 7. And the reason we don't see the 7-year-olds is because they couch surf. They go from couch to couch, from friend to neighbor to family member.
Or in a car with their parents.
In a car with their parents, all of those kinds of things. And those kids, I mean, they're not going to have great opportunity to buy clothes and to buy shoes and socks and undergarments. I mean, the things that we can give them in an event like this is going to help them for weeks and months, you know. When you're sleeping on somebody's couch, you don't have a closet, right? You don't have lots of extra stuff. And so, you know, whether it's an adult or whether it's a child, whether it's a family or a single individual.
Okay.
So the goal is not just to take care of, you know, some adult, but it's a matter of men and women and families and children and couples and singles. But I believe, Richard, that reality is that if we can do something to help someone today, it can protect them a week down the road or a month down the road when it really gets colder, right?
Yeah, that's right. But now, one thing I want people to think about. Now, we have a lot of children come to our events, and we have them helping the homeless. We'll have them take their trays out to them or whatever, give fruit to the homeless, to the poor. Think about 20 years from now, when that child that's there helping today is doing something of their own to help somebody. Think of what we're putting into them, just like the holy books. All the holy texts of every place tells you how to treat the homeless. Think of what them kids will do when we're gone, of what we've been able to push into them, the love that they'll be passing on for generations.
Planting some seeds there.
And that's what I think about every time I do one of these events. Am I having an effect on just today, or am I having an effect tomorrow? And I'd like to have more of an effect tomorrow than what I had today, even though it's fun to watch these kids having fun helping the poor. It's knowing in my mind the knowledge that if they're doing it now, just think what they'll be doing tomorrow. What are we raising for our future? Mm-hmm. And that's basically what we're about, is future, you know, taking care of those that's hurting them so they'll be able to go on tomorrow. It's just such a neat feeling to be at one of our events, watching the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims all standing side by side, feeding and clothing those that are less fortunate. And in some cases, the ones doing the feeding are just in better shape as the ones we're handed out to.
Yeah. As you said, you've been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah.
I've passed by on, maybe just four or five of them. But I remember especially the first time, I was just kind of gobsmacked. I didn't believe that many people. And that many clothes being handed out, and that the huge area, and free entertainment, and the way people were getting along. I was just amazed, and if any of our listeners haven't been to one of these things, think about signing up to volunteer, or just come on down and have a look. I think you'll be amazed, too.
Well, what I'd like to think people to really think about is having an organization like COP, or have an organization like Hope Faith is good. But you see, neither one of us can operate without the community. It takes the members of our community in order to help us by giving us the materials that we give out. Now, we can be there and we can talk all day, but if we can't get you in your heart to give with your heart, then we're sort of useless. A name's a good thing, but getting the whole community involved is the really good thing.
And in all of us, be realistic. All of us have in our homes an extra blanket, or maybe an extra coat, or maybe some shoes we've grown out of, or we're going through, you know, Target or Kmart or the Bond, whatever you happen to be shopping at, and you see some underclothes, some men's underwear, or some women's undergarments or socks. And we see a big sale on them, spend an extra few dollars and buy a package that can be donated, that can be brought, that be given out. Again, I think you just have to look at that whole scenario of you go into your dresser at home and you open the drawer and pull a pair of socks out. You think nothing of it. Homeless people do not have the bureau. They don't have the dresser. They don't have the ability to open a drawer and grab a clean pair. And so, you know, every day we have people coming through Hope Faith going, I need underwear, or I need socks, you know, and we try to keep up with that. But the need is huge. We never have so many that we're going, oh, yeah, take five or six. You know, we parcel them out fairly carefully as an organization with our laundry. We, as much as possible, recycle clothes and recycle stuff. So that that people can have, of course, clean stuff to wear. And if you're looking to donate something, you know, get a hold of Richard.
Yeah, Richard.
One thing I like to tell people, and I've done this every radio show I've done throughout my life, is tell you, yes, we need materials. We need gloves, hats, socks, basically any time of any kind of winter material. But we also need stuff to make hygiene kits out of, because these people do use soap and razors and shampoos, everything you do at your house. But here's one thing I want you to really remember, and if you hear from nobody else, remember Richard Tripp told you. And I think this is crucial. We need the donations, people, but just as much as we need monetary donations or material donations, we need your body down there. Because if I get your body down there, you're going to see where your material go. And if you went to a store to get a loaf of bread or whatever, you'd expect to get your money's worth. Why should it be any different if you're given to an organization? Why shouldn't you be there and find out where that material goes? And the best way to do it is have your body there helping.
And if somebody wants to take their body there, and I have a couple of friends that have done that and come out of it, almost can't wait for the next one, but say somebody wants to volunteer, what type of activities would they be doing, and how do they get set up to do
that? At our event, you'll be doing a little bit of everything, from separating clothes, which is one of the things we do. feeding the people, cooking the food, handing out the donations, you name it. You just anything you can think of that has to deal with people, you'll probably be doing at our event. And speaking of that, Hope Faith has been generous to donate us a part of their building between now and then to take in donations and hold them for us for the event. This is a... You can go on and say something about that.
Well, you know, after you're going to be in your building that's right next door to us starting the 25th of November, is that right?
Right.
And so people can bring stuff to that building starting the 25th, or they can bring it to Hope Faith at 705 Virginia. And although we have donations that come in on a regular basis, anything for this Winter Survival 13, if you put it in a plastic bag and you write Winter Survival on it, when you stop at our building, there'll be someone that will pick that up for you, take it out of your car, your van, or your truck, and we are putting all of that material in a locked, separate place because that's for the survival. And then on the day of Saturday, November 30th at noon, when we open the doors for everybody to come in, that all that you've donated will actually have gone into that building. And so, you know, the two options are to bring it to the building. Actually, the building is going to be at 723 Tracy. And you can bring it there after the 25th.
From the 25th till the
30th. Till the 30th, yeah.
Except for Thanksgiving.
Till the day of the event, except for Thanksgiving.
Although reality is Hope Faith is open on Thanksgiving.
And
we're open every Monday through Saturday. There's a church that uses our building on a Sunday. And so until 3 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, if you're, you know, before you have your meal, maybe take your family and have them come down and drop the stuff off or even walk in the building if you'd like. You know, one thing I've noticed, and you've noticed this too, Richard, is that when someone volunteers somewhere, Tom, you said you saw the event and the magnitude of what was happening there and the reality of what happened there. When you're there and you see what happens, it strikes somewhere deep inside, right? Mm-hmm. And we all have a heart, I think, we all. And, you know, when that heart is pricked just a little bit, when you see people who are touched, when people receive food and they know they don't have any and they're thankful for it, or they get something special, like in this case, every day we have people going, hey, do you have socks for us? And when we say no, they go, okay. But when you go, yeah, we got some, and they go, yes, you know, that the change that happens in the individual who receives it is actually what I would say less than the volunteers that every day we have volunteers that come down and help us in this process, right? And Richard, what would you do without volunteers at a Winter Survival 2013?
Couldn't do it.
It'd be impossible.
Without the materials coming in or the volunteers' bodies, we couldn't do it.
It'd be chaos.
You know, it's great to have somebody like me or you get up and open a place to do the stuff, but we cannot do it without the volunteers the people that we touch our heart.
How many parents and children have come and volunteered together?
Thousands. Over the years, thousands.
And as you said before, as a parent, I take my child there. It exposes my kid to the reality of a life outside of what they see 24/7, right?
Yep.
And in that process of them coming and seeing, seeing what's going on, being exposed to a whole different world. I asked some kids the other day, what would you do if you woke up this morning and knew that you had to crawl out of a sleeping bag into the cold of the day and go, now what? And these kids are going, I don't know, right? Well, we don't want kids to end up like many of the homeless today.
That's right.
And some of it is letting them know, hey, you've got to do what you need to do today that you don't end up there.
another kind of side benefit of this.
Huge benefit.
Like the planting seeds that Richard was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
This is Tom Clemmer. You're listening to Tell Somebody, and we're talking to Richard Tripp with Care of Poor People, Inc., and Dwayne Sherbum with Hope Faith Ministries. And Richard, obviously, on November 30th, you need a lot of people there to hand out food and keep the clothing on the tables as people take
right.
it and so forth. How soon do you need volunteers?
Okay, we really need this year, since we got the warehouse a week early, we're going to have clothes coming in all week there at 723 Tracy. That's from the 25th to the 30th.
And 723 Tracy is between Troost and Paseo and
right.
7th Street, near Admiral
right.
Boulevard.
Right next to Admiral. It's a block away from Admiral. As a matter of fact, you can walk out of Hope Place Building through a gate right into the other warehouse we got. It's so close. And the neat thing about that is we're going to be able to have the clothes in one area, one warehouse, and then you walk right across the street into the music room where we'll have live bands and the feeding place where we'll feed all the potluck. It'll be right next to each other. I mean, you can't get any closer than that without having the building connected.
And if somebody wants to volunteer, they go through copying?
Yeah,
or
they can call me. Call me at 920-6119, area code 816-920-6119, or they can go to our website at www.copinc.com, which is copinc.com. Again, www.copinc.com. Or if it really gets down, you can't reach nobody either one of them places, call me on my cell. Area code 816-721-3291.
Say that again.
Again, area code 816-721-3291. You know, I really want to say we need everything. We need coats, hats, gloves, blankets. You name it, anything you use in your home, the homeless can use, believe it or not. I've even seen them take lamps and put candles in them in the wintertime in their camps. I mean, basically, anything you got you want to give to the poor, you bring it down and you watch the reality of what our United States has turned into as far as the homeless is concerned. It will break your heart, but at the same time, when you have them people look at you and say, sir, thank you for what you just did for us. There ain't no other huge feeling like that. It's sort of like the Holy Spirit getting a hold of you at these events when you got all three, Jews, Muslims, Christians, all working side by side. You just can't feel another feeling like that anywhere I've ever been. And when you have thousands of people like we'll have, well, you can't just tell somebody about it. You got to be there.
Yeah.
And when you hear Richard Tripp say thousands of people, that's not just blowing smoke. A couple thousand people have come to all the ones that I've visited. And you, as you said, have been doing this for 30 years. It's been a little while since we've had you on. Give us a short summary of how you started this 30 years ago and why. And Dwayne was talking about most of us haven't slept under a bridge. You have, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. More than once. 30 years ago, I ended up homeless, living under the Broadway Bridge downtown. And it was cold, it was wintertime, and I figured, Tripp, you got to get out of here. You're going to die under this darn bridge. So I figured, well, how can I do that? And the way I did it was I got involved with what turned into Restart. Back then it was Grand Avenue Temple Church with a gentleman that run it. And I got involved with his little shelter type deal he had there. And I remember the only reason I even got involved was to get in off the street myself. Because all the shelters had the people getting out at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I tell you the truth, I didn't want to go out in that cold at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I got involved with, like I said, Grand Avenue. And one day I was putting away sandwiches, which is one of the jobs they gave me to do for being a staff member there. And this little Jewish boy walks up to me, he hands me this sack, a little five-year-old Jewish boy. And his dad was donating the sandwiches to us that we gave away every day off one of them trucks that goes around. So anyway, so after I'd got the sack from the kid and the kid had left, the guy, Stuart Whitney, that was a minister of that place, he walks up to me and said, "Look, we got 100 ministers from St. Paul School of Theology coming down, and somebody's got to talk to them, and the guy that was supposed to tell them about our place got sick, so Mr. Tripp, guess what? You get to talk to them." So an hour goes by, I get up on this pulpit in the bottom of that church, and I look out at all the ministerial students. There was about 100 of them. And I just froze. I couldn't say a word. I just froze. And for some reason, I remembered that sack in my pocket, and I pulled that sack out and opened it. What this little bitty Jewish boy had given me for the homeless was money out of his piggy bank.
Wow.
Change out of his piggy bank. Now, when I saw that, I felt so... It's hard to explain the feeling. Here I was worried about me, and that's, like I said, the only reason I've been there. But yet this kid could take everything he had in his piggy bank and give it to me to give to the homeless. How much more should I be doing? And this has stuck with me for 30 years, you know. Every year when we do these things, that story comes back to me in spades, because I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Am I doing it to make money? Not hardly. I don't get paid a dime for COP. Nobody in the COP organization makes a dime. Everything we take in goes right back out. The reason I'm doing it is because, just like that child, I should be helping my brothers and sisters. God showed me how to do it through that kid. And now I try to show everybody else how to do it.
We'll be back with more on the survival event for the homeless after you listen to this. Welcome back to Tell Somebody. This is Tom Clammer, and we've been hearing from Richard Tripp, founder and director of Care of Poor People, Inc., and Dwayne Shervum, executive director of Hope Faith Ministries, and they've been talking about the COP Inc. Survival 13 event for the homeless coming up on November 30th. Let's get right back to it.
Dwayne Shervum, what do you observe in the homeless? How long have you been director at Hope Faith?
Only for about 3 months.
Anything that surprises you in this particular venue versus your past experience? Or,
you know, I've been involved in ministry for 35 years. But as I see people come in, and I think everyone needs to understand this, everybody who's homeless is not someone who has no ability or no education, or, you know, they're just total down and outers. I met with a gentleman just this past week. He has his degree in education. He has through 2014, he can teach high school, I believe it was math or science. But due to circumstances in his life, you know, things happened, and went through a marriage failure, and got involved in alcoholism, and lost his house, lost his family. He's out under a bridge, right? He's someone who probably 4 or 5 years ago was just like you and I. He had a house and a family and a job, and things were going great in his life. We can all only be thankful that it's the grace of God that we aren't there. Because every one of us could be there. And I know this with Winter Survival 2013. There are going to be people who are going to be coming to that who are not homeless. There are going to be people who are going to be coming to that who, it's like Richard was saying, and Tom, you and I have talked about, that they're a part of a home situation where ends aren't meeting. They've got so much money, and they're covering maybe some lodging, and they're covering food as they can. But being able to provide, kids grow, having money to buy clothes for the kids every time they need something new, you know, it's a tough thing. And so again, as I observe the people walking through our building every day, and as I interact with them every day as I'm down at the building, we see people who just need someone, rather than giving them a handout, is really to give them a hand up. And even though it might sound like clothes or a blanket or shoes are a handout, you know what? Every one of us like the ability to have dignity. And a young man came to me the other day and he said, "Dwayne, can I get a suit?" And I said, "Well, what do you need a suit for?" He said, "I've got a job interview coming up today." And he said, "I need to look better." And so we made sure to find him something that, you know, out of what we had to make him look a little better. And he got a haircut and he went down and had a shower first and had something to eat. And we even gave him a day pass where you get on a bus and go down to have that interview. The look in his eye of looking in the mirror, because he came walking down the hallway, and I said, "Wow, you look incredible." And that smile that came on his face, and he had been back in the bathroom changing. I knew that when he looked in the mirror, he saw what he looked like, and it was a total difference from when he walked in the building that day. A little dignity happened. I cannot tell you whether he got the job or not. I don't know. But I know this. For that moment, that day, he was beyond the hopelessness of being homeless.
Yeah, that's like a story I've told everybody. It's been a few years back, but I was at my cab one day, and mm-hmm. one of the homeless guys walked up to me, and he said, "I want to thank you, Mr. Tripp." I said, "What for?" He said, "Well, I was going to commit suicide when I came to your event. I was going to commit suicide because I didn't have nothing. But thanks to coming to your event, a woman talked to me. And I went out and got a job, Mr. Tripp." Well, I felt great when he told me this. I didn't ask him, you know, "Were you working or anything?"
Right.
And he walked off. A couple of days later, I was standing back at the taxi stand. The guy walks back up to me. I said, "By the way, where'd you get a job?" He said, "I'm washing dishes over at Denny's." Well, you know, that a lot of people, you hear that and you think, well, that ain't no kind of job. But you know what? That job gave him hope. That woman that came to our event, you know, I've heard people say, "Well, there ain't really nothing for us to do down there." That's bonkers, because I tell you what, just by you being there, maybe talking to somebody that's down and out for that moment, you can give them hope, and they don't try to commit suicide like this kid tried. And they get a job, maybe washing dishes, but you know what? It got his esteem back up. And I haven't seen him since, but I know he's doing great. I just got that feeling. Because you treat people like people,
yeah,
and they're going to respond. And that's basically what this kid got coming to our event, having that woman talk to him. Now, she's a volunteer, and she don't know she saved this kid's life.
No.
They don't know. You never know what's going to happen from what you do today. So think about it. Come down and join us on November 30th.
The big thing I think I see, you know, thinking back to your question, Tom, and that is people under a bridge or people who are just habitually in a shelter, there is a sense of lack of validity. I'm not valid, right? But when you spend time with them, I have folks come into my building every day, and I'll just go up, "Hey, how you doing?" Right? I don't really know them. They don't really know me. But I have gone and acknowledged them as an individual. Our volunteers who are serving food every day, and they're smiling at the people and giving them something and letting them know that they're valid. It just changes the dynamics of the mental capacity that someone has. If I think I'm invalid, over a period of time, I'll just speak that and speak that and speak that. Well, I may be thinking it, but I'm speaking it to myself. But when someone comes up, my wife the other day came in the building, and we have a Saturday mornings, we have a medical clinic, and my wife walked in the building, and there was a gal sitting in a chair. And when my wife looked at her, she just saw this beautiful woman. She was a homeless person, wasn't dressed well, but she just saw the beauty in the woman, and she looked her in the eye, and she said, "You have the most beautiful hair." And this woman just, she didn't know what to do. She just kind of sat there for a moment, and, well, thank you, you know. But all of a sudden, the spirit within that woman opened up. She was all of a sudden valid. She was alive. She was, someone gave her validity. We all need that, right?
Indeed. The voice you've just been hearing is Dwayne Shervam, Executive Director of Hope Faith Ministries, www.hopefaithministries.org. And we're also here with Richard Tripp, Executive Director of Care of Poor People, Inc., www.coppinc.com. And Richard, we've talked about wanting to get volunteers down there, but if somebody's listening who wants to come get some clothes, get some food, they have to go through an ID check, prove they're homeless, swear on a Bible they don't have $20 stashed someplace. Who can come?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. God didn't tell me to collect ID. God told me to feed my brothers and sisters. You know what? That's what we're going to be doing. We open at noon. From noon to four, we'll be giving out anything we got. We don't ask you for ID for it. If you need it, we got it, you get it.
And I've always heard some great live entertainment, and I've got burned in my memory a couple of, or one event in particular. There was the band was playing, the young lady was singing, mm-hmm. and it wasn't up on a stage, it was out in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, we're lucky. Hope Faith, they got a stage this time.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Well, the thing I'm picturing right this minute was there was an apparently homeless guy, kind of dirty clothes and stuff like that, but he was listening to that music and just kind of not exactly dancing to it, but just a huge grin on his face.
Oh, yeah.
He was walking right up to the singer as she was singing. And, you know, you can picture a lot of venues with live music. Security's going to come toss him out. But he just went right up to her and was kind of mouthing the words along with her. And she was smiling and he was smiling. It was just wonderful.
Well, you know, a lot of people have said what this event is like. And I try not to use it too much. But it's like an old-time church social. Mm-hmm. It's family. It's family, regardless of your color, your age, whatever, your religion, it don't matter. It's a family. And there we're all family. And there's nothing like family. Speaking of which, you was talking about music. I almost forgot this. On November 16th, we're having a fundraiser for COP by Coyote Bill. I know you know Coyote Bill. You don't, but you do. But it will be at the Hideout Bar and Grill. At 64.
It's up north a bit, isn't it?
Yeah. It's on north Oak. I can't. 6948 North Oak. That's on November 16th, which is a Saturday, from 3 o'clock on. It will be a fundraiser for us. We'll also take donations of clothes there. We're going to have people from Planet Aid with a truck up there loading up with donations that you bring in. So I ask everybody to show up. Go, look, we do need funds. It is low this year. But like I said, if you write a check for us, plan on being there to help us do the event too, because that's what it's about.
And you do have live music at the November 30th?
Oh, yeah, November 30th. We're going to have one of the best bands in town.
Dwayne Shervam, anything you want to talk about that I haven't asked you about or you haven't got out there yet?
You know, I think when it's all said and done, I know when people donate to COP, it is a tax-deductible gift, right?
Right.
And, you know, sometimes we look at that issue of, well, it's tax-deductible, so I'll give because of that. Don't give because you can write off on taxes. Give because something inside of you recognizes that God's blessed you to where you are. And I know this, there's a principle, it's give and it shall be given. I know every time I've given to whatever I've given to, I get more out of it than who the person is that I gave to or to the organization that I gave to. And this isn't so much about, you know, you need to give so you can write it off in your taxes. This is about giving because there are individuals who need help. This isn't just a money thing. This isn't, okay, I can write it off my tax thing. This is all about there are people who are in need, and they are in need much more than I am. And what would it hurt to sacrifice a Starbucks, you know, 3 or 4 times a week? What would it hurt to sacrifice not going out for a fancy meal 1 time a week? What would it be to say, you know what? I'm going to sacrifice this week in even my finance or even in my meals that I eat this week. And I'm going to eat a little this week, a little less this week, so I can give a little bit more. You know what? We live in a blessed nation. Yeah, there are people who are hurting, but there are also so many of us that have been blessed in so many ways. And when you come and you get involved, first of all, with your finances, going through your closets, and oh, by the way, something that irritates me a little bit. Can I say this, Tom?
Let's hear it.
Something that irritates me just a little bit is we get donations at time at Hope Faith of clothes, and you know that they gave you the clothes because they wouldn't wear them anymore. And here's a question I do have. Why should you give something to someone else that you wouldn't wear? If you're not going to wear it, are you saying they're less than you so they can wear it? It irritates me a little bit. Little soap opera or soapbox there. You may need to cut that one out.
No need for that.
But truth of the matter is that I think we have to realize that God created every one of us unique. He created every one of us individually. He didn't go, I like this one better and I don't like that one as much. He didn't say, oops, I missed. When he created one of us, every one of us were created uniquely, and every one of us have validity. There isn't greater or lesser. There is just people who have maybe been more successful than others, but that doesn't make them a better person or make them more valid. And so I think when we come back to looking at that, at the homeless who are there, or who maybe the poor, the working poor who are there, they're not less than us. So let's look for opportunities to again, financially, you know, give COP the money they need to be able to do what they're doing. Maybe bring some clothes that they need, or bring blankets or shoes or socks, or picking up that extra bag when you go through Walmart or Kmart or Penny's or Sears or whatever store you happen to work at or you happen to be at. Pick up a few extra socks. Pick up some extra underclothes. And it doesn't matter the size. We have people from small to large, right?
Right.
So let's just give. Let's give out of our heart. This event happens 2 days after Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving all about? Thanksgiving is about saying, man, God, thanks that I have what I have, that I've been blessed the way that I've been blessed. And some of us think, well, we're blessed because we work really hard. Well, I understand that, but you know what? You have health, you breathe, you're alive. Maybe you were raised in a home where you were, your parents were really blessed and able to give you the kind of culture for you to be where you are. But when it's all said and done, Thanksgiving is about, hey, God, thanks that I have, that I've been blessed. Now let's take that 2 days later, let's take a blessing that we have and let's show it in a very tangible way. You can tell me all day long you care, but until you physically do something, I don't know that, right?
Right.
And that's what Winter Survival 2013 is all about.
Okay. Well, we're the clock is winding down, Richard. Just some quick fun.
Yeah, I don't know if I got him with me, I ain't got to say nothing because, hey, he does a better job than I do, and that's terrible. I mean, in a way, it's terrible.
Well, I think you're
but,
both.
But, you know, I think
fine.
We both think too much alike. We're going to turn this city into something else.
Yeah.
Because we both feel, I'm pretty sure, about the same subject the same way.
Okay.
And we're out to make sure that we can stop this in our community by supplying the materials. Me with 2013, him, he's doing it every day with Hope Faith on the people they help down there. So, you know, winning combination, what can I say? We're going to change the city.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that. For now, Dwayne Sherbum, Executive Director of Hope Faith Ministries, www.hopefaithministries.org. Richard Tripp, Executive Director of COPP, Inc., www.coppinc.com. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Survival 13, Saturday, November 30th, with entertainment by the band Cheap Date. And this runs from noon to 4 p.m., but I wouldn't wait till 2:30 or 3 to show up. These things move pretty quickly. You can download a PDF flyer at www.coppinc.com for more information. Well, it looks like I've got just a minute or two here to fill. I think I'll play a quick clip here from 3 years ago. Some audio of volunteers at the Survival Fall 2010 event for the homeless. Give a listen.
Tell Somebody's special correspondent, Brian Clammer, talked to a couple of volunteers.
What's your name?
Linda.
Brian.
Brian.
First off, where are you from?
I'm from Overland Park, Kansas.
Yes. And why are you here?
My brother and sister-in-law have been volunteering here for several years,
yeah.
And I decided to join them this year. Thought it was a good cause.
Yeah.
I volunteered at things like this with the church that I go to.
Gotcha. What do you think about, you know, all that's going on, how it's organized? I mean, from what you've seen on other stuff, I mean, is it...
Well, this is a lot bigger than anything I've volunteered for before.
Sure.
So I think it's great to see all of the coats and all the supplies that are here for the people in need.
Yeah. From what I've seen, it's very well organized, very well run, and
it seems like things are going pretty smoothly. There's a lot of people here.
A ton of people.
A lot of people helping out, which is great.
First off, what's your name?
My name's Joshua Lowry.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for the last couple of days helping out.
You volunteer yearly or?
This is my first time actually volunteering. Probably won't be my last.
Yeah?
Good.
What made you get involved? How did that all start?
Well, my family actually went on vacation in California, and I had time.
Yeah.
And it's people need help, and I'm not going to sit around and do Black Friday type shopping.
Sure. I agree with that.
Well, quite frankly, there's more people who need help.
It makes a big difference for, you know, everybody that showed up.
Well, that's it. We're out of time. You've been listening to the podcast edition of Tell Somebody, www.tellsomebody.us. Comments or questions, send an email to mail@tellsomebody.us. You can also follow me on Twitter @TellSomebodyNow. The Tell Somebody podcast is produced and distributed by Tell Somebody and may or may not reflect the broadcast of Tell Somebody heard on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City, streaming around the world at www.kkfi.org. I'll be on 90.1 FM KKFI every Thursday morning at 9, right after Democracy Now! If you haven't heard Tell Somebody before, I hope you'll listen again. Check out the podcast and the broadcast. Click on a tile at www.tellsomebody.us for a link to a past show. If you enjoyed the show and appreciated the information you got from it, please tell somebody about the podcast and the broadcast. Spread the word to your friends and contacts by word of mouth or Facebook or Twitter or email list or any other way you can think of. This is Tom Clammer. I'll see you next Thursday at 9 a.m. on Tell Somebody or anytime you like at www.tellsomebody.us.